It's Garden Talk with Noel. A lot of people, Noel, have their favourite plants. Time in, time out, they know what they like, but occasionally new ones come along and you've got something new and exciting and pretty robust, I understand, into the store.
That's right, Dan. So you said it right. I mean, a lot of people, well, including myself, long-term gardeners, we gravitate towards what we know, about what we know will survive in our gardens. And, of course, there's had to be a lot of that survival lately with all the lack of the rain that we haven't had any rain. So it's always refreshing when you do come across a plant that has the ability to withstand really difficult conditions. So the plant that I wanted to bring into the spotlight today is a plant called Caryopteris.
Okay.
Now there's no common name for this. It's
right.
It's just called Caryopteris.
I keep thinking of the Carry-On films when I say that, but it's nothing to do with that. Caryopteris.
No. Caryopteris. It's actually, I think once you say it a few times, it's going to stay in your head. It often works that way.
You'll get asked for the Carry Octopus or something like that, no doubt. But so what is a Caryopteris?
So
there you go, I've got me again.
You nearly said it. That's right. So Caryopteris is a beautiful flowering shrub. It's of small stature.
Okay.
Well, I say that up to a metre and a metre wide. So
it's
nice.
Good for all sorts of gardens.
So nice size plant. Mm. I think, though, this is the time of the year that it really comes into its own. So it has the most incredible, vivid blue/purple flowers.
Oh, wow.
So it's halfway between purple and halfway between electric blue. And these flowers are produced in tight whorls up the top of the stem. And the effect is quite stunning to the eye. Now, believe it or not, they're actually related to mint. So it's in the same family.
Really?
As the mint, the Lamiaceae, yes. So it's quite a broad family. It also includes the likes of rosemary and all of the salvias and all that sort of thing. So they have little tubular flowers that come out in whorls up the stem. But they're so tightly compacted and they're so intensely coloured that you cannot help but look at them.
Wow.
It's just an amazing thing. Now, if we can't help but look at them, imagine bees.
Yeah.
So bees see blue and all shades of purple as bright white.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So, of course, it's a bee magnet.
Right.
So you'll find that the bees will not stop visiting this plant. So that puts it into another category for me. That means that this plant would be perfect for bringing all the beneficial pollinators to our gardens, one, to keep them happy and alive, but also to help do the productivity side of things. So for those plants that need pollinating to get fruit, for instance, it's a bit late for tomatoes, but other things, then you've got the pollinators already there because they're coming there for that particular plant and they'll come for other things while they're there at the same time. But importantly, as I said, recently I saw this plant in a friend's garden and it was growing so beautifully and yet the garden was so dry, excessively dry. But that's normal at this time of the year because we haven't had the rain.
Mm.
So I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that's hoping for some good rain to have, but this plant can stand the test of drought because this plant was shining. It was looking amazingly beautiful. There had been no extra water provided to it.
Wow.
And yet they were growing so miraculously well in these really, really dry conditions. And that tells me, well, a plant like that is worthwhile having in your garden.
Yeah.
You know, and I think just because we may not have grown it in the past or may not have known much about this plant doesn't mean you can't discover it now. There's always an opportunity to discover something new.
Absolutely. Two questions on that. One, where does it come from?
Mm-hmm.
And two, does it grow so well because of the root structure?
It comes from a drier climate, and I think because it holds itself in. It's an upright woody shrub.
Right.
So it's not a ground cover with soft, lanky leaves. I'll say that again. It doesn't have soft, lax stems.
Right.
The stems are very upright, and because of that, they hold moisture. The roots have the ability to obviously hold moisture as well.
Right.
And because of that, they're not going to just fall over in the heat. The key with any plant, though, when you're putting it into the garden, no matter how drought tolerant it may be as it becomes more mature, it's that establishment period that's mm-hmm. important. So don't put Caryopteris in a wet, prone area. Pop it into an area that's well drained and then give it the water that it requires while it's establishing. And by that, I mean the root systems from the root ball that's within that pot need to expand and grow out into the surrounding area of the hole that you're planting it into. In saying that, you can also grow it quite beautifully in pots as well.
Just make sure the pot's large enough.
That's right. Yeah, put the, at least a 50-centimetre pot will really be adequate. Mm. Bear in mind that their main flowering season is from late summer through autumn. So there's going to be a time there where it's not going to have the flowers. Mm. So it is an evergreen plant, and it will actually just hold foliage when it's not in flower, but it'll have great structure in the meantime while it's not holding flowers. So it'll certainly fill a hole nicely, a gap, I should say, in the garden.
Is it scented?
No, it has no perfume, and one would imagine it should, because being in the mint family, it should have some level of perfume, but no, there's no perfume whatsoever.
And presumably not edible either.
No. Oh, no, well, I've not tried eating the flowers, but pretty much most of the Lamiaceae are okay, actually, believe it or not. You can throw them in, but why would you? Yeah. There are so many other more delectable things on the market.
Yeah, very good. So you've got those in stock in the store?
Yes, we've got them right now for the very first time. We've never had them before, but they're something quite beautiful. They're sort of moving quickly. So I tell people to have a look at them, discover them and grab one while they see one, because they probably won't see one for another while.
Very cool. Excellent. I was going to ask you just quickly before we go, wet feet, how do they get on? I mean, if they're good in the dry, do you have to be very careful with
moisture? No, they'll take the rain quite happily. They just don't want to sit in a boggy location.
Right.
So basically, as long as that water can come, that's great. If that water can escape and move away, move past the root system and keep moving into the subsoil, it's perfectly fine.
Awesome. There you go. And if you do have any questions about, you know, whether it's right for your garden, and by the sounds of it, it's pretty much right for any garden at North Otago at the moment, you can fire them through via the website, gardentalk.nz. There's even a wee link where you can record the message and we can hear your voice. So you feel free to do that, and we'll answer that in a future episode. Noel, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Dan.